here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome back to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's Investment Research, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, December 7th, and we are here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world.
Happy Hanukkah, by the way. I think it's the last night of it, or the second to last night of it.
Happy Hanukkah.
It was early this year.
It was early, yeah.
Continuing on what you were saying, though, Maddie, what a week it has been throughout the global markets with the trade war between the U.S. and China briefly cooling and then ratcheting up to 10, causing even more volatility for stocks both here and abroad.
Yeah. So the stock market was closed on Wednesday.
Yes.
For the funeral of George H.W. Bush.
The National Day of Mourning.
The National Day of Mourning. Most federal offices were, like, the U.S. United States Post Office was closed. I'm assuming other federal post outposts, federal
things such
agencies.
Things such as that, yes.
were also closed. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too frequently.
No, presidents, we don't have a lot of presidents, and they don't die, like, every day.
Yeah.
So when I saw the notification come across my phone, I Googled it immediately. I was like, oh, is this, like, normal?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it is. So the last president who passed away was Gerald Ford back in 2007.
Yeah, it was more than a decade ago.
Yeah, so no wonder people like me, well, I was, you know, didn't really care about politics back in 2007.
Yeah.
I was a teenager, well, preteen, really, trying to figure out other things in my life.
Yes, not that you really care. Politics aside, you didn't really care about the stock market or the postal service or any of that stuff.
No. And then back in 2004 was when Ronald Reagan passed away.
Yes.
But yes, it's tradition that the stock market closes. And apparently many other people were also wondering the same thing.
Yeah, it was,
like the top trending
highly
Googled search.
Yeah, definitely.
The service was very beautiful. It was very well done. I got to see the John Meacham, his eulogy, and I thought that was great. He referenced Dana Carvey's SNL impersonation of George H.W. Bush, and I thought it was just, that was great. And then I saw sneak peeks of George W. Bush's eulogy, and I was like, oh, wow, I got it was very overwhelming. I'm like, this is very emotional.
Yeah, it's always a big to do, definitely.
Yeah. But like, not only did that happen this week, but then, like, the trade war stuff, chaos.
Yeah.
That was also ongoing. So before we get into kind of like any more headlines, we want to kind of like do our best to recap all of these developments. So we want to maybe take a few brief moments to kind of rehash what has been going on. What has happened with the G20.
Hopefully we're going to be able to
summit.
Yes. Hopefully we're going to be able to handle this in chronological order. But it was kind of the National Day of Mourning thing then threw a wrench into that order because the market
literally
was closed,
was,
but
like,
news was still
happening. Midweek.
Yeah, so we're going to run through this. The G20 was last weekend, as we mentioned on the previous show, high-stakes situation for many different reasons, most notably this trade war that we've been mentioning already. There was this dinner between Presidents Trump and Xi, and there were many people in attendance. The trade representatives from both sides, and Wall Street wanted to hear good news from it. If anything, a handshake and a wave and a nice picture and a "we're getting along better these days" type of situation. We got even more than that, which put us on track, in my view, to be in store for a good week. We'll get to why that didn't happen in a second, but let's start with the good news that we got, which was an agreement, a major agreement, a minor agreement, or whatever you want to call it, a 90-day truce regarding trade policy between the U.S. and China. So it was essentially an agreement to pause new tariffs for 90 days while they work on a longer-term agreement. And why that's important is because at the new year, a whole bunch of tariffs that are at 10% right now are scheduled to increase to 25%. So this would hypothetically, theoretically, effectively stop that from happening, at least for now. Kick that down the can, kick that can down the road a little bit. And there's also been the threat of tariffs on basically the rest of Chinese goods that don't have tariffs on them right now. That pushes back that possibility. And then it does the same for the Chinese side of things as well. So obviously a mere 90 days, though, is likely not quite enough time to put behind us some of the big issues, to patch up some of the big issues, to fix them all together. The intellectual property debate, obviously a huge one. U.S. officials also raised some concerns about China's distribution of the deadly drug fentanyl. These are cultural things. These are differences in governmental structure that between the U.S. and China that are different value structures that are going to come in the way of these things. So potentially 90 days, not enough to figure those out. But, you know, we love a nice kick the can down the road. Everybody loves a nice kick the can down the road. And 90 days isn't no time. So, you know, the possibility that some sort of trade agreement in some way would be able to form in that time was an optimistic sign for everybody. The other things coming out of the G20 meeting were the dinner or whatever, were a request from the U.S. that China start buying more American agricultural and industrial products in order to narrow the rather large trade gap between the two countries. There was also auto tariffs in discussion. Trump tweeted on Sunday that China had agreed to lower auto tariffs on U.S. cars. But as we know, only so much can get done over one simple meal. And on Monday, we saw that Wall Street appreciated this progress until it didn't appreciate the progress because, well, Maddie, you have the rest of that for
us. Kind of like you were implying, as quickly as it came, this positivity went to the wayside on Tuesday after a series of tweets from President Trump, kind of what we're used to, called all of this progress into question. So, quote, "President Xi and I want this deal to happen, and it probably will. But if not, remember, I am a tariff man," unquote.
Yeah. Can we just note for 1 second? Not the tariff man.
A tariff man.
If there's many of these people running amongst us, capitalized.
Yes, that's very important. Yes. Tariff man.
As if it's some sort of superhero.
Granted, he does capitalize very random words in his tweets. So
this is true.
He likes to put when the words he likes to emphasize, he capitalizes them.
Yes, very much.
However, tariff man. Other tweets on the occasion made it clear that Trump is still not backing down from the threat of new charges as bargaining chips.
Yeah.
So U.S. trade officials also were no help with the confusion, as no one could quite seem to answer whether China actually agreed to lower auto tariffs, buy more U.S. products, or even halt new tariffs for 90 days. Thus, confusion, chaos.
We didn't know what was going on at that point.
Yes, we didn't know what was going on. But then Chinese officials overnight said, wait, we actually got some stuff done. Specifically, the Chinese said they are, quote, confident in implementing, unquote, trade commitments made to the U.S., quote, as soon as possible, unquote.
Yes. And while we still didn't quite know exactly what those commitments were, we felt that statement was a good sign until on Wednesday, when the U.S. market was closed, we learned that Meng Huangzhu, who is the chief financial officer of Chinese tech behemoth Huawei, was arrested in Canada at the request of the United States over the weekend.
And I will say, I think this is maybe the first time I've learned how to actually properly pronounce this company's name. Huawei.
I don't even know if I'm doing that 100% right, but I think I got it decently right.
Yeah, but it's only because I think because this kind of angle to this broader story is now broken.
Yeah.
Right? And now we're like talking about it so much and so many news outlets are talking about it. It's Huawei.
Yeah.
Mi Huawei. Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, that's how I had been saying it in my brain, but you're very right. This is a company that, for reasons we can speculate on in just 1 second, doesn't have a ton of presence here in the United States. And you know, unless it's becoming the subject of this international trade dispute, therefore doesn't get a ton of coverage by U.S. media. But we'll touch on why that is in 1 second. I just wanted to mention that as of now, the charges against Meng remain unspecified. Meng is the daughter of the founder of Huawei. As I mentioned, she is the chief financial officer there. She's also, I believe, the executive chairwoman of the company. It is one of the world's largest telecommunications equipment makers, obviously one of China's largest and most influential businesses, thus making the chief financial officer of that company one of the most important figures in the Chinese economy, I would say, is not much of a stretch to say, mm-hmm. Especially the fact that, you know, she's the daughter of the founder, has that kind of family tie. This was obviously a big deal. So you immediately go, okay, why did we just do that, right, as we're making progress here on the trade war? We don't quite know. The charges against Meng remain unspecified. I believe there was a request for a media block. I don't know what the legal term is for it, but there was a request that the charge not be released to the media so that there would not be public reports of it just yet. And that was granted by the judge. Also, I'll note, arrested in Canada, facing extradition to the U.S., arrested on a layover in Canada. And as I mentioned earlier yesterday on the free lunch program, I've had some tough layovers, some 4 to 6 hour layovers, a couple of delays mixed in there. You're in an airport all day. Nothing, I don't think, quite beats getting arrested on your layover. That's definitely a way to ruin your travel day. For sure. But anyway, so why did this happen? We don't quite know, as I said, but reports from a couple months ago suggested that U.S. officials had been concerned about Huawei breaking sanctions on Iran, that there were investigations into whether that was happening. Could this be the culmination of those investigations? Perhaps, maybe most likely. There have also been kind of rumors, concerns, questions following Huawei for years, really. And this is getting back to the point of why they don't necessarily have a huge presence here in the U.S. Questions over whether the company's networking technology could be used to commit espionage on behalf of the Chinese government. So essentially, you know, using the tech, creating backdoors within the technology, and then that technology being used for unlawful surveillance. Regardless of whether it was those two things, one or the other, a different thing entirely, the arrest was interpreted as an escalation in this trade war that we're talking about. Officials from Huawei and the Chinese government immediately calling on the U.S. and Canada to release Meng. I believe a bond hearing is scheduled for today, so maybe we'll hear more about this very soon. But certainly, you know, just when we felt, okay, good news, we had this 90-day truce, then mm-hmm. we have these tariff man tweets and this arrest, and all of a sudden feels like we're back to square one over again.
And this is all, I mean, tied to the 800-point drop on Tuesday, which is, again, connected to the tariff man tweets, but also, which then kind of didn't help the investor sentiment that, oh, we're going to have a recession in how many months, weeks, years, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just like kind of like escalated that investor unease.
Yes.
So the market almost bounced back at market close on Thursday.
Thursday was crazy. Let's talk about Thursday real quick. So Thursday is, we come in after the National Day of Mourning. This news is hitting the wire. It had hit the wire really Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon. So this is your first opportunity to react to it. it's Tuesday all over again. It looks like we're on pace for another one of these 3%, 4% drops. And then, like, something happens right at 11 o'clock our time. So 12, the lunchtime hour over on Wall Street. And there's this very, very strong afternoon surge. The NASDAQ actually ended up green, 0.4% ahead of Tuesday's close. The S&P came all the way back up, was down just 0.2%, 0.15%, a marginal loss on the day. The Dow, which had been for the entire day really getting battered, came all the way back almost to its close, down 0.3% on the day. Really a remarkable rally, and we'll see with the jobs report coming out today. Everybody hearing this will have probably already heard of the job. I've already digested the jobs report already. We'll see if that afternoon rally will extend into today's session. But like crazy, crazy movement on all the major indexes today. Netflix finally found a bottom. That was up 3% yesterday. If you like me, spend a lot of your day just staring at live charts. Absolutely crazy day. Crazy day.
Absolutely.
And that said, we had some good things happen this week. Another one of these situations where we have earnings reports coming in, and there's a lot of good to them, some bad, and the good gets overshadowed by the bad, plus all the other things that we just talked about that are weighing on the entire market. And I think that's what happened to a couple of reports that we got this week. Of course, still got some retailers coming in. Most notably, or one of the most notable, I believe, from grocery behemoth Kroger.
Yeah. And noting that some had to actually be moved a day.
Yes.
Because the funeral market was closed. So it was just a wacky week.
I think that happened to Lululemon, which we'll get to in a second. Yeah.
So Kroger, one of the top grocery giants in the country, they reported before the bell on Thursday, adjusted earnings of 48 cents beat the Zacks consensus by a nickel. Revenue was basically flat to $27.7 billion, which was just above estimates. Digital sales surged more than 60% during the quarter, and comps were up 1.6%. Moreover, adjusted earnings guidance was in line with estimates, so a pretty solid report here for Kroger.
Yeah, there was some sort of weird accounting thing they had to do with their GAAP earnings that lowered their GAAP earnings guidance because of some sort of skewed thing on an investment that they made. Which was like kind of the smudge on the report, and then it was on Thursday morning, so it got thrown into this mix with all this other stuff going on. So again, mixed reaction to that. I love that 60% digital sales growth. Obviously, it's a grocery store chain, so limited ability to utilize e-commerce. But we've talked about on the show over the last couple of years, Kroger doing things like order online, pick up at store type of stuff, curbside pickup types of deals. Delivery in certain places.
Yeah, are they partnering with things like with Instacart?
Yeah, they might even have their own. I'm gonna just sheepishly look that up as we're talking.
Or their own delivery service.
They might even have their own thing like that.
Okay, I don't think we have Kroger's in the Chicagoland area. Maybe in the burbs, but
I'm trying to think if we've had anything under the Kroger umbrella.
Is that Mariano's?
It might be. I get them all sorts of mixed up because there's also Albertsons in the mix, which we don't have Albertsons, but we definitely have something under the umbrella. This is another situation where there's only actually three companies that own everything.
Walmart,
yeah,
Costco.
Yeah, Kroger Delivery powered by Instacart. So, for those who don't know, is like largely a mobile app that you use for delivery.
Yeah, you use it all the time.
I do most of my grocery shopping at my desk at work via Instacart. It's kind of like the Uber of grocery shopping, if you will.
You connect with a person, they text you, they're like, well, we're out of these carrots. Are these okay?
Is it okay? They only have a million bananas. I accidentally ordered 700 bananas once, but whatever. Okay, we're moving on. Kroger, decent report from Kroger. Kind of a mixed report from Dollar General. It's hard to get your grasp exactly on what these super discount retailers are up to these days. Dollar General came in on Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon. Earnings were $1.26 per share. That was up 35.5% and in line with the Zacks consensus. Strong earnings growth there for Dollar General.
I'm just going to butt in. I don't think I've been into a Dollar General in maybe 15
Many
years.
A year.
So it just boggles my mind. I mean, it's like fantastic that they're pulling in these numbers, but the fact I just can't comprehend that it's just like that there's still a thing.
Well, let me get to this
like
next
Dollar General and Dollar Tree.
Let me get you to this next bit of a factoid for you, and then we can see what your reaction to. Revenue was basically flat year over year. Revenue was up 8.7% year over year and at $6.4 billion. So not only is this company a thing still, revenue in this quarter, $6.4 billion. So let's say with the holiday quarter probably being a little bit busier, let's say they do like $30-plus million in revenue a year.
It's like, that's crazy.
Billion, excuse me, if I just said million. That's a juggernaut in retail. That's a big deal. The stock was up about 10%, or excuse me, about 15 to 16% on the year heading into the report. Got battered on what I'll get to here now. Earnings guidance was trimmed. I think about 10 cents off the top and bottom ends of the range.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped 7%. The stock dropped 7% on the day. Again, kind of getting thrown into the mix here with what was a volatile session for a lot of different stocks, most stocks. I think still some positives here. Comps up 2.8%. It's a pretty good number for what we're seeing in retail right now. Expects fiscal 2018 net sales to increase about 9%. Revenue in the previous quarter up 8.7%, as I said, so in line with what they're seeing. And comparable store sales growth. Expected to be in the middle of the prior projected range of mid to high 2%. So it's one of those things where it wasn't a beat and raise. It was a meet and meet kind of situation.
Sure.
And with a stock that was already up 15, 16, 17% on the year, it just got punished for that in today's retail environment. We're going to go from Dollar General, an ultra super discount retailer.
Well, and I will say, like, I know, like, I love a good like discovery shopping extravaganza.
Yeah.
Like this is why like I still love like Home Goods and like that in Nordstrom Rack, like that type of like discount shopping environment. And like Dollar General definitely falls under that umbrella.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
But like you find like weird random knickknack stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's crazy to me that they're pulling in these numbers.
I go to Dollar General and Dollar Trees when I have to shop for like large parties. It's so you can just get a large amount of things.
Yeah, because like,
the quality of things doesn't really matter at that point.
Yeah.
You just kind of need it to be there. But yeah, I get what you're saying. And we're going to do possibly the hardest pivot of all time from Dollar General to a more high-end retailer and apparel maker, which might be more up your alley.
I do shop at Lululemon quite frequently.
Yeah.
So they killed it. But directly in after hours trading after the report was released, the stock was down like 7.5%. And I know Tracy Reinick, our fellow stock strategist.
They've probably heard of her.
They've probably heard of her. I'm just, you know, doing a quick shout out.
Yeah.
She's on StockTwix and she was like, I don't know if she was just on the Lulu page, but she was like, why is the stock down? Like, I know if she was reading tweets.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time figuring out why the stock was down as well. I don't know if it was like, if the guidance wasn't good enough, it was just if the report was already priced in.
Yeah.
That's kind of my guess.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The stock has just been on a rampage this year.
Yeah, it really has.
And Lulu has come down a little bit in the past few months. Again, because the stock has been up so much in 2018. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to the numbers. So revenues of $747.7 million beat the Zacks consensus estimate, up 21% year over year. Adjusted EPS of 75 cents also beat the Zacks consensus of 69 cents per share. So their total comparable sales increased 17%. Now, under this umbrella is their comparable store sales up 6% and their direct-to-consumer like revenues, online sales, increased 44% year over year. Crazy numbers.
Yeah, that's crazy numbers. Yeah.
And one thing to note about this quarter is that this does not include Black Friday. So their third quarter ended October 28th. So next quarter will include the Turkey Five, if you will.
Yes.
All the
correct.
their core holiday quarter. So we Lulu investors, people watching the stock, can probably hope for another great quarter next quarter as well. People are shopping. I was in there last weekend. The store was crazy busy on like a random Sunday. But yeah, the stock is
a really solid quarter. And as you mentioned, as I kind of led into this segment, you know, taken at face value, these reports have all been pretty solid. The next one we're going to mention, same situation. But as you rightfully mentioned, the stock was up at one point this year, had doubled on the year, has come off those highs. But prior to Tuesday's crazy selling, was up even in this high 65%, nearly 70% on the year.
On a tear.
So, you know, when we get into these environments, not only is it harder to impress with earnings reports, mm-hmm. It's also, you know, you're going to get the wind knocked out of these momentum stocks like crazy as people go, okay, well, if the market's going to go this direction, I'm going to take my profits on these hot momentum stocks. Again, stocks to watch if Thursday's afternoon rebound was any indication of where we're going next. Possibly a stock that will continue to get punished if the volatility extends into today and into next week. And we're going to wrap up here with one of retail's most followed stocks. Used to carry a little bit more clout on the social media
a
couple years ago than it does now. Ulta, which also I think maybe didn't have as many people watching it when it reported Thursday afternoon. Because it pre-reported some details of this report in an Investor Day presentation a couple weeks back. Still, we'll go over it. Beat earnings estimates by 2 cents. Revenue basically in line with expectations. Comparable sales up 7.8%. That was basically in line with expectations. On the retail side of things, the retail portion of comparable sales up 4.4%, comparable stores in the salon segment, 3.5% growth, e-commerce sales, 43% growth. That's very strong. Gross margin basically flat year over year. Operating income up about 4%. Guidance, okay, not great. They expect Q4 sales of 2.08 billion to 2.10 billion. Most estimates sitting around 2.12 billion heading into the report. So that's a little bit below expectations. Ulta, very similar pattern to Lulu in after hours trading on Thursday. So again, pretty much the same story there in terms of could continue to get punished if the volatility extends into today's session and next week, could rally if Friday session ends up being strong.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of news. That's a lot of stuff going on. It feels like with all that talk on retail earnings, I had completely forgotten that we discussed so much stuff about the trade war. But holy cow, a lot of stuff going on. And there's only four trading days this week because of the National Day of Mourning. So we'll continue to monitor all the developments in the trade war. Just a few weeks left here of 2018. Feels like it really flew by.
I say good riddance. I say come on 2019.
All right. Well, that I think I agree with you for the most part, especially if we can get a little New Year's resolution to this trade war.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I should get a raise for that one. all right. That's going to do it for us this week, though. Shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you felt we missed anything, if you want to discover a different story, or if you just want to say hi. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts, including a couple shows by the aforementioned Tracy Reinick.
The Tracy Reinick.
Yes. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. Send us a note if we're in one of your top podcasts on your Spotify Wrapped this year.
Yeah. Oh, it's also a really cool thing to do.
Oh, I love it.
I did mine today. My top artist is Lady Gaga.
Yes, mine was Drake. So
yeah,
no surprises.
Really not surprised whatsoever.
No surprises from either of us. My total listening was up 115% year over year.
I didn't see the percentage raise, but I listened like around like 35,000 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, I was even a little bit higher than that, which is like, I mean, that's.
But I thought it would have been higher.
That's months in my book, I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah, which I was surprised at kind of how low it was, but I'm like, because I feel like I just have my earbuds in all the time and I'm listening to Spotify all the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I bought more albums on iTunes.
Could be.
Anyways, this is very off topic. Wrap it up.
I'll wrap it up. You guys do your Spotify Wrap.
Yes, so. It is very cool. It's very cool.
But yes, we're wrapping things up. Thanks as always for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.